Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
We are in the middle of our fall discipleship focus, River Deep, Mountain High. And we, as we've said over these past couple of weeks, river and mountain imagery is found throughout the scripture to help us understand the life-giving power and presence of God in our lives. And we're using our membership vow during this focus to help us know what it means to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. Our vow is that we'll support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. The first week we looked at prayer and how prayer connects us to that life-giving power and presence of Christ in our life. Last week we looked at presence and how being present in worship gives us the opportunity to drink the living water that is Jesus Christ, and then also how that living water can flow through us into the lives of those around us. Do you realize that there are only 9 Sundays until Christmas? If you've been in Walmart, you might think there's only 2. Matter of fact, I was in a store this week and they were playing Christmas music already. Well, Christmas, as we all know, is one of the most favorite times for children. It was for me anyway. My house, growing up, must have been one of the very first houses that Santa visited, because he always came early on Christmas Eve. After dinner, my sisters, who were older than me, 8 and 11 years older than me, after dinner they would take me into town to see the Christmas lights. And every year, Santa always came while we were going into town to see the Christmas lights. So he came early. And you know, it was usually, you know, the usual fare, a basketball, a Tonka truck, you know, the metal kind, not the plastic kind. And so there was this one year, though, I wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary, just another Tonka truck or something. But when I walked through the kitchen and into the living room, I got the shock of my young life. I must have been 7, 8 years old, maybe. But there by the Christmas tree in the living room was a real live pony. And I remember begging to get on him. And my mother said, "No, he'll kick the windows out." So I didn't get to ride him in the house, but there he was, a real pony by the Christmas tree. That was over 50 years ago, and that gift has not been topped yet. But you know what I've noticed, though, as I get older, I get more joy out of giving than I do receiving. Whether it's taking my grandson to Five Below and letting him buy a $5 game, or whether it's giving service by going to Forgotten Louisville or to Lighthouse. Sometimes gifts are giving monetary gifts, but sometimes gifts are given through service to others. When I think about supporting the church with our gifts in our membership vow, I think of gifts in two ways. I think of giving as giving our monetary gifts, but I also think of gifts as using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And both of those kinds of gifts are given with the same attitude and with the same purpose. Both of those kinds of gifts are given selflessly, generously, and in an attitude of worship for the building up of individuals and the church. Now, being new here, I don't know how much spiritual gifts have been taught or preached in this congregation, but I firmly believe that God has given every Christian at least one spiritual gift for the building up of individuals in the church so that the kingdom of God may come here on earth as it is in heaven. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, to each one is given. Not to some, or not to those over here or those over there. But the Apostle Paul says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And then he goes on to list several gifts of the Spirit. And if you look at passages like 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12 or Ephesians, you'll find 25 or so spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament. And those gifts include things like preaching, teaching, administration, mercy, music, service, generosity, hospitality, to name a few. The thing about spiritual gifts is that they are never given for our own benefit. Spiritual gifts are always given that we might use them for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others. Now, some of you know your spiritual gift. Some of you are using your spiritual gift and you may not even realize it as a spiritual gift. Others of you have yet to discover that gift. Others of you aren't even sure that you believe that there are spiritual gifts. But as much as I believe anything about our faith, I believe that God has given every one of us at least one spiritual gift to be used for the building up of others and the church. So how do we know what our spiritual gift is? How do we discover that gift? Well, there's inventories that you can take that might help point you in that direction. However, most of those inventories are experience-based. That is, you might have the gift of teaching, but if you've never taught, it won't show up very high on that inventory. The best way to discover your spiritual gift is by experimenting. And by experimenting, I mean volunteering for as many different kinds of ministry as you can. And then when you find that ministry where you are effective and a ministry that brings you joy, then you have probably discovered your spiritual gift. You see, God will not give you a gift and allow you to fail, nor give you a gift that is a drudgery for you. Also, in knowing your spiritual gift, it helps you discover your identity. You know, we have different roles in our lives that give us an identity. Mother, fathers, husbands, wives, parent, child, our jobs. But once we discover our spiritual gift, then we have discovered our true identity. We have discovered that for which we were created. Knowing your spiritual gift will also help you to know God's will in your life. Most all of us at one time or another have prayed and asked God to reveal to us God's will for our life. Well, if you discover your spiritual gift, then you know God's will for your life. Because God will not give you a gift and then not expect you to use it. If you discover that gift, then God expects you to use that gift, and it'll help you identify what God's will is for you. Also, knowing your spiritual gift will help you to make commitments in your lives. If I were to ask each of you this morning, most every one of you would say that you are committed to God and to the church. And usually that statement means a kind of a general commitment that doesn't require action or accountability. But if you know your spiritual gift, you can make more specific commitments. If you have the gift of mercy, then you can make the commitment to visit the hospital when we have folks in the hospital, or to visit our shut-ins, or to send notes of encouragement to folks. Knowing your spiritual gift helps you to make more specific commitments to Christ. So we vow when we join the church that we'll support the church with our spiritual gifts. And we also vow that we'll support the church with our financial gifts. You know, one of the criticisms of the church by people outside the church, and maybe even sometimes people inside the church, is that the church is always asking for money, always talking about money. And I think that statement is a little bit of an extreme exaggeration. We don't always talk about money in the life of the church. And those of you who attend regularly know that to be true. However, that perception often causes the church to go in the opposite direction and seldom talk about money. I've never quite understood why the church feels the need to apologize for asking for financial gifts. Other nonprofits don't apologize. The United Way, the American Cancer Society, the Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, to name a few. They boldly ask us to give, and they never apologize for asking us to give. You know, when the church doesn't ask for gifts, it kind of feels like we don't believe in our own mission. And when the Humane Society asks you for gifts, you get the feeling that they really do love and care about animals. You get a sense that they want to make sure every animal has a good home and is well cared for. You realize that they really do believe in the work that they're doing. So what are we saying when we apologize for asking for gifts? I feel like we don't believe in the mission of our church. But I do believe. I do believe in the mission of our church. I believe in our mission to connect people in this world to Christ and to connect people to one another and to connect them to the world. I believe in the mission of the church to help people grow in their faith, to deepen their relationship with Christ and with one another. I believe in our mission to help people serve, to help people serve God and the church through the ministries of the church. If I didn't believe in the mission of the church, I'd still be beating out a living on a farm somewhere. But I believe in who we are and what we do and what we have to offer to one another and to the world. And because I believe in that mission, I make no apologies for asking you to support that mission. See, you are the only way. You're the only way we have of funding the mission of the church. Matter of fact, I ask you to give, and I ask you to give generously and sacrificially. And I ask you to give for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the mission of the church. Now, there is a caveat to that ask. And that is, I don't ask you to give just because we have bills to pay. I ask you to give because you believe in the mission of the church. I ask you to give because your giving is an expression of your love for Christ, and your giving is an expression of worship and your sense of gratitude to Christ for His presence in our life. I ask you to give as an act of worship. In years past, guilt was a, a frequently used tool to get people to give. But as I told you last week or week before last, I never intentionally use guilt for anything. I don't want you to give out of a sense of obligation or duty. I want you to give out of a sense of joy. The joy that comes from being generous because you love and care about your neighbors and because you love Christ. You know, my parents got more joy out of me seeing that pony in the living room than I did seeing that pony in the living room. It is when we are generous that we experience that great joy. And you know what that joy feels like. You know what it feels like when you buy gifts for your children or your grandchildren. And I want you to know an even greater joy when you give to the church. On November the 3rd, you'll have an opportunity to make a pledge to our 2020 general budget. You'll receive a pledge card the week before, and your pledge helps us to have an idea of how much money we'll have to do ministry in 2020. It helps us to build our budget. Our 2019 expense budget was $1.2 million and some change. And that'll be the beginning point for our 2020 budget. Just this week, we turned our construction loan into a mortgage. The total cost of the renovation and the construction that you all did here over the past few years was just over $7 million. Our mortgage is now going to be $2.884 million, which means you've already paid for more than 60% of that renovation and construction. You are a generous people. And this is a testimony to your generosity. And I just ask you to continue to be generous. To be generous because you believe in the mission of the church. And because you love Christ. And because you love your neighbor. You know, when we give our gifts, whether they are our spiritual gifts or our financial gifts, hopefully we are guided by the Holy Spirit. And when we follow the Spirit, the fruits of the gifts that we give will eventually be love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want for ourselves and for our neighbors? We vow to support our church with our gifts, our spiritual gifts and our financial gifts. And I ask you to give in both of those and to give generously. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.